Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Pinch, punch, it's the first day of the month, Rush Nation. What is happening? We're into February. How did we get here? It felt like 2023 was only yesterday, and suddenly we're a 12th of the way through the year. It's unbelievable stuff. We're a week away from the big one, the final dance of the season. Big man, how are we?
Man, it's good, man. Like you say, we're one game away from knowing who is going to be Super Bowl champions. It's been wild. It's been a wild week. It's been a lot going on. I did make a couple of friends today, so I thought I'd bring them along. So I'd like you to meet first friend that arrived today. So I'll put this one over here. And I couldn't have him on his own. So I've got another one here. So I just do the rest of the show like this?
I don't know who you think you are, Mr. Lesnar, but stop it.
Come in. It's Belt Day. Everyone loves Belt Day. So, yeah.
Is it officially Belt Day across the fantasy community today, or is it just Belt Day in your household?
Belt Day in my household. They arrived today. Oh. So, it's good. So, yeah, I love prize season. Prize season's awesome. So, nice to get some prizes in the door. Most of the prizes we've been responsible for are being handed out. Still, and you've got a whole bunch of Listener League winner t-shirts.
I do, but the t-shirt supplier did me dirty and missed off two shirts. And rather than go to the post office twice, they have accepted that they missed them off the order, and they are being processed as we speak. So as soon as I have them, the whole order will go out, because I can't. My local post office is miles away. I say miles away. It's not open at the times I can get to it. So I have to go once on the weekend, and I don't want to go twice, if that makes sense. So once the shirts get to me, I'll do the whole order, and then they will be on their way to you. So apologies on that.
But I've seen them. If you've won one and want to see a sneak preview, get in touch with me at the usual places. And I can definitely give you the sneak preview. I have told the two people whose shirts didn't arrive, because I didn't know if you were going to send them out or not. But this is the great thing with our leagues is, you know, we don't do cash leagues, as I mentioned last week. So, we do prizes where we can, if it's charity leagues or whatever it is. And you know, we make sure that they either get donated to us, or we pay for them ourselves effectively out of what we run the pod out of. So it's nice to do that. It's nice to get the t-shirts. They're good collection. I have a nice collection of Listener League t-shirts over the years. They're good. People really like them. So it's nice to get them out, and people will enjoy them. But yeah, we charity leagues we've done. The FFCC trophy is on its way to the winner. The FFCC plate has made its way to Brian Drake. We'll get him on the show this off-season to present his plate. It'd be a virtual presentation where he'll have to pretend to lift it himself and like it. Well, I have to try. I do have a plate here for which I won from the UFC a couple of years ago. So I could use that and do like some really cool. We'll have to like do some practice. Anyway, we'll get to that. It's completely off point. But yeah, love hardware, love prizes.
Just on the listener league t-shirt, sorry Murph to interject. Yeah. There is a normally if you are a previous winner or you have purchased one from the store, they come with a Rush Nation somewhere on the back. They used to be at the bottom of the t-shirt. Then we move them to the nape of the neck. This year, however, there is a brand new design on the back of every listener league, which Murph has not seen. So he can show you the front, but he cannot show you the back. So it's not on the FFCC t-shirt because that is a unique t-shirt in its own right. It's not on the Champions t-shirt because, again, that is a unique t-shirt. But this year, for the first year, the listener leagues have got a design on the back that has not featured anywhere across the 5 yard ever. So
that's exciting. Oh, see, I didn't even know that. That's amazing. I tell people that I have nothing to do with the t-shirts and people don't believe me. And I'm like, I genuinely, this is proof. I genuinely have nothing to do with them. So if you didn't believe me, this is like proof, I guess. that is the case. It is a nice segue. I know you went here last week. How are you doing anyway from last week?
Yeah, no, I
where you were, what you were doing, but you were sort of a bit banged up and on IR. So
yeah, so I had a doctor's appointment for my, so those longtime audio OGs will know that I blew out my ACL and PCL and LCL. Oh man, that what 14 years ago now, and that story has occasionally come up when we've talked about knee injuries in the past. And then that was my left knee, and then my right knee started hurting, and it was exactly the same pain that I went through when I had my left knee, and I thought I need to go and get this checked out. So I went to the doctors, and it happened to be on the same day that my orthopedic surgeon does his clinic. So the doctor said, look, rather than wait, I'll phone them up, see if there's a space in his clinic, which there was. So I went straight up to the clinic, saw him. It was a hell of a day. And then the journey home from George's to my new house is a lot further than it used to be. So I couldn't get back. But it turns out all's well with the knee. I've just swollen the patella tendon. And I just need to take it easy. And actually, this week has been much better than last week. So I think when I went to the doctor, I was at the peak of the pain. And I was worried that the pain was going to be worse from that point. And it actually, I've done a few stretches and I've used a bag of sweet corn from the freezer every night to just try and keep it down. And so far, so good. So yeah, it got to the point where driving was hurting. And this week's much better. So yeah, 1 week on IR. Thankfully, the NFL rules do not apply to us. And I'm back.
That's good, man. It's good. And that gave me an idea for a new t-shirt, the Nutella tendon. Not the patella tendon.
The Nutella tendon. I mean, yeah.
You could do it with the old knee, with the old jar and a
You know, you could go, didn't Dan Campbell talk about eating ankles or knees or something?
Yeah. So there you go. So, yeah. Get a picture of Dan
Campbell. And the Nutella tendon.
Eating the Nutella tendon. There we go. We got there. Every week is a new t-shirt idea. Make sure you stay tuned for that. We're on the subject of prizes. So I'm going to lower the tone because you weren't here last week. And I talked about what was going on in the fantasy community with a certain individual who hadn't paid out fantasy winnings. So a few of us, and this is a shout out to Jack Humphrey, Matt Cullen, Rich Cooling, former Dynasty host here at 5 Yard. And Dan Hughes and a few other folks as well behind the scenes have been working to get this paid, send messages, get some more clarification on how these leagues were run, get some information. The good news that we have that we received this week yesterday was that the 2023 winnings have been paid and have been paid out to people. So that's about £3,000 worth. So that has been paid out. What is outstanding and what hasn't been paid is the 2024 fees. Now, not all the leagues they run with dynasty leagues, so therefore the fee's significantly less. It's estimated that the fee's about £1,000. There's a bit more confidence that these things will be paid out in due course and will be paid in a timely manner. I don't know when. The individual that's involved, I've blocked ultimately now. You know, we're at the point now where the loss to people is, I don't want to say insignificant because no loss is insignificant, but it's significantly less than what some people were losing without this payout. So it's not said I care less, because that's not it, but this person had stopped replying to me anyway. I'd made my viewpoints pretty clear. There's a second individual involved. That person has paid out the money. I just want to clarify a few things, because some people read my comments yesterday. Would have been yesterday. And there seemed to be some praise for this person's actions and then some condemnation on my part that I was condemning this person in the same way that I was condemning the original person who didn't pay out this money. I think it's fair to say that I'm not really happy with the conduct of either individual. And I don't think that the second individual should get praised for paying out money, which was due when they took a rake in leagues that they didn't tell everybody about. And, you know, when you take a rake, it's a service. And at the end of the day, they didn't conduct a good service. So that's my viewpoint. Look, but I'm not going to sit here and throw people under the bus, and I'm not going to sit here and say that this person's a thief. Clearly, the second individual is not. This person did pay the money. Like, as soon as they got it, they went diligently through and paid through everybody. They're clearly not the same level of impropriety here. And I'm not suggesting that. My issue is that safeguards were not put in place for this money. You know, here's an example. You and me stocks, we have a joint bank account for 5 Yard Rush, right? So we have a bank account that you access, that I can access, etc. And whenever there's significant purchase or something to be made, we talk about it and then it goes out, right? It's pretty standard stuff. Like, that money is something that we both control. We both have visibility over. Now, we don't even collect league fees because we don't charge league fees. We don't have paid leagues. But for stuff that we pay for, it's pretty transparent. We both have access to it. We can see what the other has spent and all of this. So it's not a mystery because we're a partnership, you know, at the end of the day. Like, if you're in a partner with somebody, it's not that I don't trust you. It wasn't anything like that. Like, I don't even have a bank card to the account because I don't need it really. It just occasionally I've sort of borrowed yours. So that's that. We have such a high level of trust. It's not because we don't trust each other. It's just for fail safes. I spent a lot of time in hospital last year. If stuff needed to get paid, there needed to be another person on the account. It's pretty straightforward stuff. Like, you're in a partnership where both of you are on the hook for stuff. It just means that there's equal accountability, and it means you need to have equal access. It's not a trust thing. So you've got to have fail safes in place. If like I was out for, I was inoperable for probably a good 4 months last year where I just couldn't do anything. And if stuff needed to get paid and done, like, it was the off season, but if this is the time where stuff needed to get paid, you'd have had to have paid it. And you'd have had to have known what to pay, where to pay, and had access to that. And if you didn't have a card or access to the account, you wouldn't have been able to do it. So that's, you know, it's common sense, really, that you have something like that in place. Now, that's just my viewpoint and view of the world. Other people have different viewpoints, and that's fine. I'm just expressing my opinion that if you're going to charge a rake, which is illegal, by the way, by the Game Commission, you're not allowed to do that. But if you do, make sure you do the service and have due diligence and checks and accountability in place, so that if something was to happen, there's that. But effectively, just don't run mass leagues and get money paid through PayPal and bank accounts, like put it on a third-party app. That's not saying I'm condemning cash leagues and private leagues and all that, because I don't. I said that last week. The way I look at it now is, the good thing is this money's been paid back in majority, 75% of it, maybe a little more, has been paid back. There's a little bit to go. There seems to be a willingness to pay that back. You always feel a little bit more relaxed when the majority of the money gets paid. Everybody's kind of just cooled down a little bit, and that's good. And it's good that this money is starting to make its way, like that £3,000 has made its way to the players. So I can confirm that. So that it's a better place than we were a week ago, which is great. Still a little bit of way to go, but this will play out the way it needs to play out. But compared to what, I don't know if you're not on Twitter or X or Elon Musk fun ground, but I tell you what, we in the UK, we've had our own drama. In America, they just took it 10x. They basically said, oh, look, the UK community has got an issue with people stealing money. Yeah, America, hold our beer, because it went off. It's basically a private league where an individual didn't pay the fees for about a month. And then he said, I will pay, but I'll pay by check. He collected the money by Venmo. And this guy basically was relentless, saying this is ridiculous. Someone in the league defended the person, the commission who hadn't paid out. So this, from what I understand, this league is about 4 years old. The money has been paid out every year, but it hadn't been paid out after a month. The guy who came second was due money, was like, give me my money, I want my money, I want to know what's going on. The commission was ignoring these messages. They was reading them, they were on the read receipts in the group chat, but they weren't responding. So then he starts kicking off, saying like, I want my money, this is ridiculous. Someone who was in the league and has been since the beginning, who is a woman, and the only reason I mention that is for the context of the statements that were coming out, basically said, like, chill out, it will get paid when it gets paid. And so this guy went off and called her a B word, hence why I mentioned she's a female, not for any other reason other than that. And she then took offense to that, as you probably would. And she then took this off the Sleeper chat, put it into Twitter or Elon Musk Underground, and basically tried to shame this guy, saying, like, this guy's called me a B word. This is ridiculous. Like, who does this guy think he is? And this guy's gone, context, here's the group chat. She threatened the cease and desist letter, saying, like, because he basically said, well, you must be in on it. Like, you must be in on this scam.
Yeah.
He ran a poll. 10% of people said he's overreacting. And he was quite passive aggressive and even borderline aggressive in a number of his messages. But he's pissed off. He's not been paid. Like, he has a reason to be peed off. Did he take it too far? That's not for really me to say. Go read the messages yourself. It kicked up a notch even further. So yesterday, the commissioner of this league, the one who owes him money, calls this guy and says, like, basically, this guy outed him and said, oh, by the way, this commissioner in Arizona has been taken to court 6 times for failure to pay and fraud and all this sort of stuff. And by the way, the amount we're talking about, I think, is like $100. It's not even like, I can't remember if it's $100 or it's $100 buy-in. But either way, it's like one league. And this guy's like, I want my money, I want my money. And the commission's basically like phoning him up. It's a 12-minute phone call. He threatens to kill this guy's wife, pets, him, and like threatens harm. And he's basically saying, like, until you stop being a scumbag, I'm not going to pay you. And I'm like, imagine being like so chill about it, that not chill because he wasn't, he was really aggressive. But imagine going to like, oh yeah, until you're really nice to me, I'm gonna not pay you. And like, what? it's just if you want like a ridiculous drama, like Hollywood couldn't have scripted it better, just go find it on Twitter. So if you just search for, I'm gonna pull up the guy's handle,
that's crazy.
His name is Elvin Ryan. What's even better is, so one of the quotes was like, the commissioner phoned him and said basically like, oh, well, you know what a raccoon tastes like. He's basically saying like he's backwater, S-C-U-M, basically. Yeah. And so now Elvin has changed his profile picture to a raccoon and then put raccoon water from the swamp. Which is just like wild.
That's next level.
Oh, mate, just go and check it out. His handle is at @ElvinRyan_FF. It's just, like, next level wild. Like, I thought we've had some dramas in this community. I think we handle it pretty well when we can. That's just, cease and desist letters,
12-minute phone calls. And the guy airs. So this guy, Elvin, has literally screenshotted and recorded this phone call. And he put 8 minutes of it up onto with the guy's phone number. he's like, just to let you know, mate, I'm posting this on Twitter. And he's like, I don't give a... like, just quite... Honestly, I'm like, it shouldn't laugh because it is people's money and it's wrong and it damages the community. But it's just how it's escalated to that level, and it's one league. It's just, I just don't. Really, I have no words for it. It's just nuts.
It does bring out the worst in people, doesn't it? Prize season, it is great when you're winning and stuff's paid, but when stuff isn't paid, it really does bring out the worst in people.
I think that's it, isn't it? Like, if I can only just say one thing, I'm going to do an episode on fantasy commissioners with a great bloke, and I can't wait to do it. It's a special sort of one-off. But yeah, I think if you're just a commish, right, you are basically responsible for 7 people, 11 people, 13 people, whatever size your league is, how 9 people, 50 people, 100 people happiness for 4 or 5 months, or if it's a dynasty league, like all year round.
Yeah,
and like, it's not something to be taken lightly. And my guy Pestles jumped in. Yeah, better than any British soap opera. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely wild. By the way, shout out to Pestle and the guys at Fields of Fantasy. So they were nominated for Sports Podcast Awards. They unfortunately didn't win. They were robbed, unfortunately. But absolutely great guys. I was on their pod about a week ago, I think. I kind of lose like time, but I talked about like the community, and this was before this sort of stuff came out about like stealing funds and everything. And I was just like, yeah, okay, bad timing, but also good timing because it kind of talks about all the positives of the community. But yeah, I just think, yeah, if you're a commissioner, you're responsible for people's happiness at the end of the day. So like, it shouldn't be underestimated, the job of commission. Yeah, I know most people, they kind of just run a league and it's all automated, etc. But if you can just chime in every now and again with something fun or whatever it is, yeah, it's just fun. But we're claiming fourth because they only tell you like first, second, third. I'll give you four. I think you should just put like a new category, like most robbed.
Do you know what I think? I think for me, the worst bit about and why potentially it gets so fractious in paid leagues, especially dynasty leagues, is if you're in a dynasty league, whether it be £5 with your mates or a big time money one run by a professional outfit, because I'm in a money league with a few friends, and my team has been poor. Well, it started terribly, then it got poor, then it's been average, and I finished top five, I think top six this year. Is if you are consistently average to poor or having to rebuild in a money league, you just feel as if you're just throwing money at the wall for somebody else to take. And then if you do manage to, after 4 or 5 seasons or however long, get to the playoffs, get to the first, second game, get your money, at that point you're just thinking, look, I've put so much into this, now I need some money back. And yeah, I think that might make it worse, is if you've been in the doldrums for so long.
Yeah, I just think at the end of the day, like, there's a reasonable expectation on when things should be done. I think if you're in a league that charges people to play in, then that's got to be done instant. Like, I don't care. Like, within 48 hours, that money has to be paid. You're charging a service. That's got to be done. Anything outside that is unacceptable. If I won a contest on, and I don't play on DraftKings, I don't gamble like that. But if I did, and DraftKings hadn't paid me after 48 hours, I would find that unacceptable. So if I pay a rake into a league, why would I also not think that's unacceptable? That is mind blown to me, especially some of the rakes were like 20%. So they're taking 1/5 of the pot. Like, what are you running an admin fee for if you're not even doing the service? That's the part I get really aggravated about. If it's a friendly league, right? And I think you've got to kind of judge it on the history of the league, history of payouts. Like, if the guy pays it like 6 weeks, and that's just what he does every season, and that's just the norm, then obviously you kind of know, right? Yeah. But I think this is where leagues and paid leagues don't have like set constitutions. And I'm not saying everything needs to be completely formal when you're playing with mates, but there is always that temptation that the commission can not pay things. Pitsy's saying we need to chat about the buy-in. I take it Pitsy's in your league, and that's why
he is. Pitsy's the commissioner in said league.
Oh well, there you go. So look, I think it's one of those that, like, I think regardless of how well you trust and know somebody, there's always that temptation. Don't forget, in fantasy football, these payouts are right after Christmas. So it's like, it's a tough time. People are lean. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying people should ever dip into that money. But the bottom line is there has to be like an element of transparency and honesty. And do you know what? Even if someone said, look, to be honest, yeah, I borrowed it for a couple of weeks. I get paid at the end of January. I'll pay it out then. I promise. Like, you kind of think, okay, you probably shouldn't have done that. But at the same point, it's like, well, you pay it and we've been doing this for 8 years. Like, does it really matter kind of thing? I'm not trying to lean it either way, but I think you have to formalize processes. And I think it also depends on the amount of money. I think if you're playing for tenors, 20 quid, I'm not saying that's an insignificant amount of money either, by the way, but I'm thinking that the risk is significantly less. If you're playing in leagues that are like £100 plus buy-ins, which I know people do, that money's got to be in team stake. That's just too much temptation for somebody to walk away with. If things go pot, someone loses a job, someone whatever, right? And I think it's, and I'm not saying that people are inherently dishonest. I even go all the way back to this situation with this commissioner who delayed paying out £3,000. I don't think he's inherently dishonest because he's paid the money back. I just think there's got to have been a situation where he didn't have that money and now he does. I don't care how it happened.
But that situation should be removed from the possibility.
And that's my point. When you get to a level of money where it's a significant amount of money, that absolutely should be the case. It should be the case in all leagues, but then I think if you're playing with mates and it's a tenner ahead, like I think 100 quid, 120 quid, it's kind of like, it's such a low, I don't want to say an insignificant amount, it's not, but it's kind of like, if something happened to 120 quid, people aren't going to fall out over it.
Yeah.
Like you're not. If like, oh yeah, that 80 quid for winning, I'll give it to you next month. You'd be like, yeah, all right, whatever. Like, it's not enough to where you're going to fall out over. When you increase prize pots, people are going to fall out if things don't get paid. So just remove the temptation, formalize your processes, have a constitution, try and put these leagues into. And I get it. People don't want to use a team stake because they're paying a rake. They pay a fee to do it. But, I mean,
it's continuity and safety, isn't it? That's what you're paying the rake for.
That is exactly it. You know that money will be paid out. That's the end of the day. You know you're going to get your money at the end of the season. You know it's there if you win. And if you don't win, you don't win. Yeah, okay. You pay an extra £1.50, £2 service fee. Yeah. Either reduce the league fee or whatever. Like, it's just not enough of a reason to not do it, especially when the stakes are significant. That's kind of it. When in unprecedented times, in the economy, in, you know, so many people out of work, job market shrinking, mortgages increasing, inflation, all of these factors are just, temptation is big. I don't judge anybody. Like, at the end of the day,
I think sometimes you've got the temptation side of it, but that, and again, I'm not excusing said individual from behavior, but
no,
that there could have been a moment where he's got that money and he needs it to pay something and he doesn't have it elsewhere. As normally he wouldn't be able to pay it, but he's got it there waiting. And it could have been I don't want to say it could have been energy bill when he needed to heat his home, or it could have been his car's broke and he didn't have it, but then he did so he could get his car, because that sounds like I'm making it okay, which it never is. It'd be like, the way I equate this is, if you went to McDonald's and got a 5-nugget box on the drive-thru, you opened it up before you'd even driven out of the drive-thru and there was only 4 nuggets, that's 20% of your steak. There's your rake on a chicken nugget. You drive back round and make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as well, just that temptation's there. It's there for a lot of people. It's a lot of money. Even if that happens, right, be honest about it. People are understanding. I think most of the people I spoke to in this situation were just like, it's the not knowing part. That's the part that was, and I think people would have been upset. I don't doubt that, but he's paid the money now. So if his plan was always to wait until this day to pay the money, if he'd been transparent about it, people would have been a little bit annoyed. But I don't think it would have got to the point where people were really angry and posting angry posts on social media and contacting his work, etc. I think he wouldn't have been in charge. I mean, he would have been kind of in a similar situation to where he is now, but without the hate. It would have been like, we don't want you to be in charge anymore. We don't want you handling the money anymore. We get it. You've paid it. You're inherently not a bad guy, but you've done wrong. You serve a penance. You move on. It was the lack of communication and transparency that really got people's goat. So I think even if you're in a situation, and I really hope that people listening to this don't, because I hope they heed our advice, and it's just playing for small stakes, fine, like whatever. Like, no one's falling out over 100. Well, I mean, and if they do, they do. But I mean, like, most cases, I can't imagine people falling out over £100. But when you're getting into 200, 300, 500, 1,000, 2,000, whatever these leagues can go up to, I think that's the point where you're just like, you need to put safeguards in place.
Yeah.
That's just it. And just learn from that lesson. And that's all we're saying. And yeah, exactly what Pestle says. It's just temptation, naivety. And I think that's it, right? And then, but look, I don't want to credit an individual who didn't pay fees, but he has paid them. So like, the bottom line is, it shows a little bit of character that he's paid them. Like, some people could have, after the abuse and being offline and whatever, could have not paid it and just gone sod you all, stuck two fingers up at everything. So I'm not saying that is enough. Like, I've still blocked the individual because they put me through a lot of grief, and it's grief I didn't need. But
yeah,
and also the lack of communication, the lack of responding, and I think a lack of maturity and a lack of decency in the way that this was handled is my bone of contention with all of this. I think, yeah, if he'd just come out on the 3rd of Jan and said, guys, I'll be honest with you, I just don't have it.
Yeah.
But I'll have it by the 31st of Jan, and it'll be paid then. I probably would think very differently about the situation, but I don't. So it is where it is. But we'll move on, because it's done, like I said, and hopefully it's the last time we have to talk about this sort of thing. But I think it's important just from an education point of view, right? And that's kind of why we talk about it on here. For this individual was associated with us. This person has some affiliation with us and other people in the community. It's about trust and transparency. I got some crap because I hadn't posted on Twitter about this. And I was like, I gave a 9-minute statement last week about it. Okay, yeah. You don't listen to the pod. I get it. But don't say, like, you... I talked about it because I just didn't want my words to be misconstrued. So it's why I gave a statement last week. It's why I talked about it for 9 minutes last week, was because you have to say something. But we're done. So we move on and we talk about, let's talk about head coaches, and then we'll get into the Super Bowl. Lot of hirings in the last couple of days, lot of hirings. We're starting to get to the end game now of all of these hirings. Where do you want to kind of start?
Oh, this isn't on here, but surely we've got to talk about Big Bill not in a job.
Wild, right? I don't understand, in a world where Dave Canales, a 1-year offensive coordinator, gets a job, where Dan Quinn, we're talking about, is Dan Quinn, Raheem Morris, get a job, but Bill doesn't. Like, do some of these franchises just think that he's washed, or do they not think he's in it for the long haul? I'm genuinely surprised that, say, someone like the Commanders didn't go to Bill and say, here's a blank slate. Do what you want to do. We'll learn from you.
I'm in a group. It was a Dynasty group chat on WhatsApp, and it's turned into the group now, and it's now Washington Nonsense. And it is, it's primarily a group chat for a league, but no one really talks about anything other than the Washington Commanders at the moment, which is fine. And they were saying, a couple of them were saying how Bieniemy should have been given a chance because he was the next best, the next big thing a couple of years ago. But then there's some talk about how he's worked the players too hard, and some of the players were moaning about it, so they didn't perhaps want him as the head coach. And yes, weird. Weird.
Well, I think the Bieniemy thing, right? We talked about this a couple of years ago. The Bieniemy, he had gone through multiple processes where he hadn't been given a job. And I remember a couple of years ago saying, this guy can't interview well.
Mm.
Like, he can't. He clearly can't interview well because he is getting passed over for every single job going. And it's like, there's got to be more to it than that. Like, he's been looked at by a third of the league for a head coaching position, and a third of the league has passed.
Even his own and current franchise has passed.
Yeah, exactly that, which I think tells you a lot. And it's not like they've passed for the next big thing. Like, if they passed for the next big thing, like they went and got Ben Johnson from the Lions, I'd have gone, yeah, I get it. Okay, fine. Went for Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn is about as uninspiring a head coaching job offer you can get. Like, I look at a franchise like Washington, who have inherently had huge organizational problems for the last 5, 7, 10 years. And, like, your answer to that from going from Riverboat Ron is effectively, let's have more of the same, please, with Dan Quinn. What? Like, it's just mind-numbingly dumb. Like, and I've got nothing against Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn's a great defensive coordinator. I actually think he's probably going to be okay as a head coach. Okay. Like, he was fine as a Falcons head coach. Yes, and people can say, he took him to a Super Bowl. Yeah, he did. He also blew the Super Bowl horrendously, by the way. But let's forget all of that. It's just a very uninspiring hire. Like, if I was a fan of the Commanders, I'd be looking at that thinking, like, seriously? We turned down the opportunity to go and get... These were some of the names that they interviewed, right? So, Ben Johnson, he said no. Mike McDonald, okay, so he went to the Seahawks, which we'll talk about. Raheem Morris, okay, so he went to Atlanta. Bobby Slowick, he decided to stay. Eric Bieniemy, you mentioned. Aaron Glenn. Anthony Weaver, but they didn't interview Bill Belichick as an organization who has just completely struggled as an organization. Like, I'd have thrown everything if I was the Commanders to Bill Belichick, because if nothing else, what you will get is someone who will do a complete top to bottom review with the organization. And this is a guy who's won a lot. And I'm not saying that he will necessarily produce a great caliber on the field team right now, or even in a short period, maybe even in his tenure. But what he will do is he'll organize the organization for success going forward. So even if, say, he does a 3-year tenure and it doesn't work out brilliantly on the field, like they see improvement every year, but it's maybe not quite enough. But he'll put processes in place for long-term success. It's like when Brady came to the Bucs, a bit different because he won in year one. But the Buccaneers organization is better because Brady's been in it. Because he inspired leadership. He got people to act up. He bought a culture and a mentality that the standards have maintained even after he left. That's like the best legacy you can ever have. And the guy was a quarterback. Imagine what Bill Belichick would have done to an organization. Like,
yeah.
I just think, I kind of don't mind Atlanta passing. Like, I wouldn't, but like, they've gone with a fairly successful young, youngish head coach who has been around the league a long time. Like, fine. I get it. You can build a 5-year plan on someone like Raheem Morris. I wouldn't choose Raheem Morris over Belichick, but okay. But Dan Quinn? Like, come on. Dave Canales of the Bucket. Like, I like Dave Canales. I think he's an okay offensive coordinator. But we're giving that guy a job and we're not giving Bill Belichick a job? Like, I just think it's nuts. I just think... I just don't get it. Like, I don't get... Like, I get that the last few years in New England were bad. Like, I get it. We had, like, 3 bad years in 25 years.
You'd take that. You'd take three bad years would. And five Super Bowls.
Six. Won six Super Bowls. Won like 13 division titles or whatever. Maybe more than that. I don't even know. The guy's a winner. But it's not just that. It's not even the fact he was just a head coach. He was a GM. So even if you're like, okay, look, maybe we'll have you like be what Bruce Arians is, some sort of like consultant on the field or whatever. But we'll make you the GM. We'll give you all the power and structure to do what you want to do. No one did it. I just don't think you can leave that kind of experience. You have to be bold to leave that kind of experience and just say, yeah, no thanks. Especially when you're an organization that has historical problems in the organization, but also doesn't have a history of winning in recent times. Like, okay, Commanders won a lot in the 80s. Good luck to them. When Joe Gibbs was there, yeah, great. That's the 80s. In the 2020s. It's a long time. Falcons haven't won anything. What the Falcons won? A couple of NFC Souths? One Super Bowl appearance? Panthers? A couple of Super Bowl appearances? No Super Bowl titles? Like, you're really, really going to just pass on this guy? You're not even going to phone him up and see what his gauge level of interest is? He was interesting in Atlanta. He interviewed twice. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's strange. I just think, like, people are going to sit me and say, like, the arguments are, well, the last 3 years bad. Yeah, I get it. The last 3 years bad. Oh, he's washed. It's a different game. Yeah, whatever. I'm not even talking about what the on-the-field product, just the organization that he will build will be great. And if you've got a crap organization like the Commanders do, I'd have given him what he wanted. I'd have paid him whatever he wanted. $50 million? Yeah, fine, do it.
And Mike Vrabel as well. He's currently without a job.
So I got a bit of heat when I said that Mike Vrabel deserved to be fired.
Oh, I'm not saying he didn't deserve to be fired, but of all the hirings and stuff and the fact that he's just gone under the radar for any of them.
Yeah, is... I mean, I get it, and then I don't get, like, I'm less aggrieved. I'm less aggrieved, but I think maybe I actually think a year out for Mike Vrabel will probably do him the world of good. I think he's probably better off just sitting out. And I think he didn't participate in too many interviews. Like, he didn't go too far. I think a year out for him will probably do him the world of good. Maybe he goes and be a coordinator somewhere for a year. Maybe he takes a year out. I don't know. I think he probably needed a change. I don't think you can go from like one head coaching job to another head coaching job without any form of break after you've been fired and expect that to kind of work. It's pretty standard. Like, a coach that gets fired doesn't really go and walk. And like, Bill Belichick is very different because it's a very different level of coach. But anybody else, I can't remember in recent history a coach being fired and then getting a head coaching job like a week later. Like, it just doesn't really happen.
That makes sense. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, hadn't thought of that.
But, I mean, it's interesting. I think the Seahawks have been really bold with their choice in Mike McDonald. I mean, he's the youngest head coach now in the league. I think he's done a good job. It'd be interesting because he's inexperienced. I didn't really see that one coming from the Seahawks. They've gone from probably the oldest head coach in the league to the youngest. I think it's just interesting. But, you know, they've got some fun pieces there, Seattle. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. And they are an organization that do tend to give people time. So, from that side of it, kind of makes sense. We talked about Raheem Morris. I have a bit of a soft spot for Raheem Morris. You know, he did lead the Bucs to a 10-win season and didn't get into a playoffs when he won 10 games, which is just wild. This is back when it was 16 games as well. He lost on tiebreakers, which is just like, that's just bad luck. Yeah. But he was very young then. And then he's done a good job as a defensive coordinator at LA. And, you know, like, he's a good fundamental coach. Is it inspiring? I don't know. I wish him well. He's a really good bloke. Like, as a coach and a person, he's a good bloke. I'm happy for him, but I don't know if that's necessary. It's weird now because now we're in the league of the NFC South is effectively the Buccaneers division because you've got the Buccaneers in it. You've got the Panthers, who are coached by a former offensive coordinator, Dave Canellis, and then you have the Falcons that are being run by Raheem Morris, former head coach. I mean, all you need is John Gruden to come back and coach the Saints, and you've got a full set.
And hey, look, that could happen.
he's out of a job. I don't know if he's still like cancelled from the NFL, but it'd be interesting. But Ravens didn't waste any time in replacing Mike McDonald, because they hired Zach Orr internally, which is a strong way. I don't know too much about Zach Orr, but he's very well respected, and yeah, good luck to him on that. But this next hire, I'm gonna let you talk about it, because it's just mind blowing.
I don't want to. Yeah, Arthur Smith hired as the new Steelers offensive coach. Pitsy, if you're still watching, help brother out here, because I know you are not inspired by this whatsoever.
Is anyone inspired by it? So Stacey, who writes the waiver wire columns for us, I sent him the link when he was like he was being seriously considered for the job. And he was like, and I'll have to pull the quote up of what he says to me, which is... This is terrible audio.
It's mad, right?
I went to him. I said, he said to me, just effing shoot me now and get it over with. I went, agree, that would be a terrible hire. And then literally posted the note and I went, have you got your gun loaded? And he went, I live in Kentucky, always have a gun ready. Oh, wow. I mean, like, you might as well just... I mean, Deontay Johnson's like RIP'd. George Pickens, RIP'd. See ya. Gone. I was like, yeah. Then Matt Canada got fired. I was like, yeah, we're going to free some players. Nope. We just killed them again.
Yeah. You took them off of one barge onto an island for a couple of weeks, and then you loaded them to another barge the other side, which is exactly the same. Not fun.
All of a sudden, I've just got that Simpsons gif that's just come straight into mind. Like, stop it! He's already dead.
Cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's kind of how I feel about George Pickens and Deontay Johnson right now. Oh, it's just like, yeah, great. They've been free from Matt Canada for like five games, and now they get Arthur Smith.
Because Kenny Pickett's still the quarterback as well. Is that wild?
I can't see how that's going to continue. Do you think, yeah. I was thinking about landing spots for Justin Fields. How do we feel about Justin Fields to Pittsburgh?
What, with Arthur Smith? I don't hate it. Are we completely sold now that Justin Fields is on the move?
I mean I am. I've said it for weeks. You don't have the number one pick with Caleb Williams there. And I'm not the biggest Caleb Williams lover, but you don't have the opportunity to draft Caleb Williams and then go, nah, I'll stick with Justin Fields, who's terrible.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're a new head coach, or you're on the hot seat, effectively, like Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat. Like, he is, his bum is hotter than anybody else, because he's literally like all his coaching staff got fired. So he's like, I imagine Matt Eberflus will be gone by week 7 of the 2024 season. That's kind of my prediction. So week 7, week 8, he'll be gone. So he's going to be gone, and then it's like, you got a new-ish GM there. I don't want to be tied to Justin Fields. No thanks. The guy's lost like 60-something percent of his games. It's got 60% completion percentage.
He's better than anyone Pittsburgh has on their roster right now, right?
Yeah, but listen, with all due respect, Kenny Pickett is beyond terrible. I mean, like, you have to give him some allowances that he's had Matt Canada as a play caller. But yeah, I mean, like, for me, Mason Rudolph is the best quarterback on that roster.
Yeah, I was going to say Mason Rudolph wasn't terrible.
No.
So,
but I sit there and think, well, you've got an interesting one, because actually, do you know who I would think would be really good? If you can get him under control, which, given it's Arthur Smith, is probably not great. I would like to see Sam Howell get a second life.
I don't hate that. I like Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell, I mean, the reason he was partially as, I'd say terrible, that's not fair. I mean, the guy got hit so many times.
he had no offensive line at all. And then, and also Bieniemy was just like, yeah, just chuck it 50 times a game. Just see what happens. I mean, on one part, yeah, cool. They let him roam, but I don't feel like he got coached. I don't feel like he got better. Like, I don't feel like someone sat him down and, like, worked him out. Like, hey, this is a way that you can improve. Which I think, like, in a Mike Tomlin setup, he will put those in place. Because the one thing you can say about, like, a guy like Mike Tomlin is he's taken very average rosters and got the absolute maximum out of them.
Mm.
Like, people sit here and like, complain about Mike Tomlin. Like, oh, he's won, like, 3 playoff games in the last 10 years. I was like, yeah, but he made the playoffs every year, which hampers his continual, like, uplift. Like, the guy's not picking in the top 10, so he never gets top talent. He can only work with the team that's been assembled for him. And I think he literally, there's not a coach in the NFL that gets more out of their team than he does. I think he genuinely, like, maxes out the group of players that he gets every single year. And it's just, I don't think he's ever had an elite group of players. I think that, like, since Ben's left and Super Bowl runs, I don't think they've had an elite group of players. I think they've had some good players. And I think they've had a couple of elite players, but I don't think they've had a collectively, like, elite squad. And I think that when you're picking in the 20s every year, that's hard to do. So
yes,
I think
is.
That. If you can give them something exciting, I think that will help. I think for, like, if I was looking at Sam Howell, I'd love to move to Pittsburgh, because I genuinely think they'll get the best out of him that they can. And I think there is a player in there. I'm with you, but it looks like both Chicago and Washington will go quarterback. Fundamentally makes the most amount of sense to me that both those teams do. We'll see what happens. It'd be interesting.
I hate it when bad teams get good quarterbacks, and then it's just, I know that's how the NFL works and stuff, but yeah, I just,
it's interesting, right? Yeah, I mean, ideally I'd like Drake May to go somewhere else than Washington. I'd like Washington to trade down. Do you know, I wouldn't hate a Washington trade down at 2. Because they're not they're not a quarterback away.
No, like, that's true.
So if you bring Drake May in, are they going to be playoff contenders? I don't think they are. So I think, why waste that rookie contract? I think get a haul of picks, let someone come up, like Atlanta at 7 would make sense. There's a few teams there that could reach up and grab Drake May. Let them pay the king's ransom it would take to get to 2. And
do you know who likes paying king's ransoms for possible nothingness?
Miami.
Well, yeah, Miami, but they do have 2. I was thinking of Denver. You know, we gave up a whole load for Russell. We gave up some stuff for Sean.
I mean, yeah, so, you don't have a play. Yeah, I just don't think you've got the capital to get up there, but yeah.
No, we don't. But it wouldn't surprise me if they sold, like, the East Wing of Mile High and gave the concession money each week from them to. So, yeah. Listen, we can't give you 2 first rounds, but we can give you a first round and all the money each week from the East Stand of Mile High. How's that?
Yeah, and we're going to rename the Mile East Stand as the Washington Commander Stand.
Yeah.
FedEx Stand.
Don't, because the Empower Field.
That is so funny. That would genuinely be hilarious.
Okay. But I wouldn't mind if we ended up with Drake May, because I'm never going to a game on the East Stand, am I? So, hey.
Yeah, the FedEx Washington Commanders East Stand.
Yeah,
that'd be genuinely funny. Like, I think I would, and I think we're painting that would be good. I'd enjoy that. I can't see it, but that would be great. I'd go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get that campaign started. Let's start getting some sources. We'll start leaking it out. I'll contact like Rap Sheet and say, "Hey, I'm hearing the Broncos."
The lease for that part of the ground is up, and they're going to give it to Washington
for $1 a year.
Oh man,
that'd be so great. Yeah, but there, it's definitely an interesting time. We should actually probably, since we're 54 minutes into the show, haven't talked about any of the single. One thing I will do before we move on to that, I'll list the current. So all the head coaching positions have been filled. All the GM positions have been hired. There is one defensive coordinator position I did want to talk about, which is about the Packers, because this is about the most Packers hire I've ever seen. So the Packers have hired Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley as their next defensive coordinator, and he's going to fit right in. Because I've talked about for about 3 or 4 years, maybe even 5 years, that the Packers can't stop the run. And Boston College last year were giving up 181 yards per game against them. He's going to fit straight in. Hey, what's your plan, coach? Oh, don't worry about the run. Like, it's fine. Just let it go. It's like the most perfect fit of like, yeah, well, we can't stop the run. That's cool. Nor can I. Great. When can you start? Job done. Great interview, that guy. Like, amazing. So coordinator positions that are to be filled. Buccaneers need a new offensive coordinator. They actually need like most of their offensive team because they've all gone to Carolina with Dave Canellas. So we'll see who they hire. They're in the midst of interviewing. They're interviewing, I think, everybody and their mother at the moment. Every day I say, oh, so-and-so's been interviewed for the job. It's like, oh, good. Nice, thorough search. The Titans need an OC. The Giants need a defensive coordinator. The Saints need an offensive coordinator. The Patriots need an offensive coordinator. The Cowboys now need a new defensive coordinator because they just lost Dan Quinn.
I do like Dowboys, though.
Dowboys. How about them Dowboys? Yeah. Cowboys need a defensive coordinator. The Dolphins, this is quite a cool story. So the Dolphins need a defensive coordinator, and they are interviewing Rams assistant Chris Shula, who, yes, that name is familiar because he is the grandson of Don Shula, famed Dolphins head coach. Imagine that. Hey, so what are your credentials for this job? Well, my granddad was the best coach you've ever had in the history of the franchise.
You're in.
You're hired.
Yeah.
You could just sell more Shula merchandise, like, done. And then the Raiders need an offensive coordinator. But all the head coaching jobs have been filled. All the GM positions have been filled. So getting near the end of this now, I reckon in about a week or so, I reckon by Super Bowl, we'll pretty much have most of these locked and done. So nice. Getting there. We're down to the last 8. And then I can't imagine these teams will lose a coordinator unless they get hired. Well, they're not going to get hired as head coach. So imagine it be as they are. So championship round of games. We do have a Super Bowl. It is the Chiefs versus the 49ers. We've seen this story before. Just 4 years ago. Where Patrick Mahomes won his first Super Bowl championship and first Super Bowl MVP. As he beat Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. It's not Jimmy Garoppolo this time. It is Brock Purdy. But coaching staffs are relatively similar. Same head coaches. So much the same. So they got there in very different ways. the Chiefs absolutely... Their defense were incredible, by the way. Like, I've sang a lot of praises. And Steve Spagnuolo's coached brilliantly this season. But yeah, for him to put that game plan again, like, they completely stuffed. I mean, for me, the Ravens were badly. That game plan didn't work. It was terrible. They made a lot of mistakes, but there were some great defensive plays, like they're causing the fumble on the goal line, so Zay Flowers didn't get in the end zone. you know, they made a lot of big stops, a lot of big plays, constant turnovers. Like the Chiefs' defense was incredible because our offense has been stuttering all season long. So yeah, good result for the Chiefs. And then the 49ers.
Sorry, Murph, before you talk about the 49ers, I saw a stat that said the Ravens had the number one rushing offense in the NFL this year and ran the ball the least amount of times in this year per game against the Chiefs, and they threw it the third most times they had all season against the Chiefs. So they went away from absolutely everything that worked. And
yeah. Six running back carries.
It's crazy.
And three Lamar Jackson design runs. It was ludicrous. Like, I didn't get that game plan. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. Lamar Jackson's getting a lot of the heat because he did throw a ball in the triple coverage, which it was bad, but I just think it was a really poorly designed
game. Awful.
It was really badly called by Todd Monken. His inexperience in that situation showed, and it showed in a big way. I think they were the number one season favorites for a reason. I think the 49ers are probably the biggest the biggest beneficiaries of this result, because I just don't I wouldn't have given the 49ers a chance in this game, whereas I do against the Chiefs. So it's interesting, but yeah, I think badly called game. But the Ravens D was incredible in this game. Like, they really kept them in it for a long time. Like, to hold the Chiefs to 17 points, that half of the ball definitely deserved to go to the Super Bowl. It wasn't any reflection of their performance here. And then we got the Lions. And I love the do or die attitude that Dan Campbell has. But it's so interesting because everyone's like calling him out for his aggressive play calling. They're up 17 points at the half. Now, here's what's crazy. Against the Buccaneers, he wasn't that aggressive. He really sort of toned it down, didn't really go for it on fourth down, played field position, made smart decisions, kept the scoreboard ticking over. In this game, he went, sod that. I'm going to go for it on fourth down, turn down points. And they lost the game. I just think when you're up 17 and then you're up, you know, you're up 10, the opportunity to continually score points and keep putting pressure on the opposition is massive. They scored with 7 seconds left in the second half, or in the first half, end of the first half, second quarter, to go 24-7 up. So effectively the last possession of the first half. And then they don't score for almost an entire 30 minutes. And you just can't do that in that situation. They completely let the 49ers back into this game. Credit to the 49ers. It takes a lot of guts to come back from that kind of deficit. And they got through it. Again, just continually putting points on the board, scoring on consecutive drives, putting that pressure on. You know, then they go up by 10 with 3 minutes to go. And yeah, you know, they get one back, the Lions, but damage is done. Just a big. Dan Campbell will look at that again. He'll have nightmares. He will have nightmares because I just think in that situation, I think there is ways that you'll be too conservative, and I think there's ways in which you could be too aggressive. We saw this in the NFC Championship game a few years ago when Matt LaFleur was far too conservative against the Buccaneers, where he went for a field goal instead of going for the touchdown, given that he was fourth and goal. He was like, well, I need two scores, so I'll kick the field goal, give the Bucks the ball back. And you're like, yeah, but you're fourth and goal. Like, you're only 8 inches, or you're 8 yards from the line. Like, you might as well go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They gave the ball back. Tom Brady knows how to eat clock better than anybody. So, you know, that's too conservative. This is too aggressive, going for it when you can put points on the board. I think there's a balance. The good coaches have that balance. They know when to go for it, when not to go for it. And but he's done a heck of a job. You know, people are throwing him under the bus, and it's like, well, he's turned that franchise around from what was a laughing stock to one of the most enjoyable, watchable teams in the NFL. Like, you got to give the guy a lot of credit, but yeah, he will have nightmares of that for quite a while. So it's a shame. It's a predictable Super Bowl. The general consensus I feel is that people aren't all that excited for it, which I don't blame them. I'm not saying it's one that I'm overly inspired to see. No disrespect to the teams in it, of course. Just, I think we've seen this record before. Andy Reid has made the championship game in 44% of his career.
What, the Super Bowl?
No, the championship game, so the round before the Super Bowl.
So he's 44%.
44%. And you think how long his career's been? What, 24, 25 years?
That's disgusting.
Incredible, right? He's made the last 6, 7 championship games.
That is an unbelievable statistic.
It's mad. It genuinely is, like, beyond belief, like, how good a job they're doing. And, like, they've lost out to Tom Brady twice. They lost out to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And I think that's it.
When you look at their roster, and they have Travis Kelce, obviously Patrick Mahomes, but outside of Travis Kelce, they don't have a star, and then their defense is just angry, and obviously they've got Chris Jones, but
yeah, I love their D. Wild. I love their D. Steve Spagnuolo is a highly underrated coach, and he's done an incredible job.
Yeah.
And he has done for years. What's Steve Spagnuolo got? Like 4 Super Bowl rings as a DC? Like, guy's incredible. Like, people who don't know who he is, go and look him up. Like, incredible career that he's having. And he is, for me, the big reason that they're here. It's not Mahomes. It's not the Mahomes magic. It's not the offensive magic. It's all about this defense. And it's going to be interesting against Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, who will become the second ever Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl, if he does it.
Really?
Yep.
No, somebody else. What, as a quarterback?
No, first ever as a quarterback.
Right, okay.
Second ever Mr. Irrelevant.
Who's the first?
Ryan Suckup.
Really? A kicker? Excellent.
Yeah. Ryan Suckup. He'll also be the only Mr. Irrelevant from the team that drafted him who will be... Who would win the Super Bowl?
Love that. Good stat. I did not know Ryan Suckup was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, Ryan Suckup, Mr. Irrelevant. First Mr. Irrelevant to win the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy is the latest quarterback drafted to play in a Super Bowl since Brad Johnson for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2003. He was drafted in the, I think he was the 214th pick.
Well, that stat can never be broken now, because unless the draft gets bigger.
Well, you say that it can technically be broken because you can get extra comp picks.
Are they after Mr. Irrelevant?
No, but they obviously shoved down 262, I think Brock Purdy was. So you could have a year where there's more comp picks than there were in that draft. And Mr. Relevant could be like 264 or 265.
Okay. No, yeah, gotcha. All right, fair.
So he could be slightly later. But yeah, we're talking about it's going to be like 3 or 4 picks. It's not going to be later than Mr. Irrelevant, but it will be like a slightly later number if we're being
really romantic. I have a final stat, Murph, about the Super Bowl, which you probably already know. But did you know no Alabama player has ever scored a point in a Super Bowl?
I did not know that. That is mad. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I that got put in a group chat I was in, and I was thinking that cannot be true. So I Googled it, and it is true. And you know what makes it even better is the Coast Guard College. They have a kicker who has scored a point in a Super Bowl, and no Alabama player has ever scored a point. You're Googling it, aren't you? You do not believe me.
No, I do. I'm just shocked.
I don't know about defensive. Someone might have scored like a pick six or something. But yeah, offensively, I know for a fact that no player has ever scored a point in the Super Bowl.
That's mad.
When you think about Alabama as a college.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. I'm just genuinely shocked. So, and is that... That's going to extend, right? Because I don't...
Yeah, because there's no Alabama playing this year.
That is mad. Oh, by the way, I've just looked up... So I've looked up... 143 colleges have scored a point in the Super Bowl. Do you want to guess the top five schools?
I think if you scroll to the very bottom of this list, then that is where you will see the Coast Guard.
It's in the next paragraph. It's like even the Coast Guard Academy have gotten into an extra point by Washington's Kurt Knight in a 14-7 loss in Super Bowl VII.
I have seen this list and I cannot remember the top five. Okay, I'm going to go with Florida. They've got to be up there.
Second, 82 okay. points.
Oregon?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I want to say...
Very traditional schools. I would say that our good friends Lee and Pitsy are well represented in this list.
And Pitsy?
Yeah. Do you remember
Well, he's not. Yeah, he's not really a Penn State fan, is he? Are they up there?
Okay, so Penn State are third.
Miami are first.
Miami first, 84. Florida 82. Penn State 81. And then it's a big drop. Fourth and fifth is a tie.
Is Tennessee one of those two?
No.
I was thinking Peyton Manning scored a few points.
No, Notre Dame and Cal.
I would never have got Cal.
Yeah. So there you are.
Finished with some statistics.
Always end with a stat. Yeah, so we're going to have a guest next week. Very excited. A good friend of the show is coming back. We're going to start doing... I talked about this last week, and we just didn't get guests lined up for this week. So we're going to start doing player reviews by position from 2023. So... we're going to have our good friend Pat Fitzmaurice back next week. I'm buzzing to speak to Pat. He's going to come on and he's going to talk about running back. So we're going to analyze the running back position from 2023. What went well in fantasy football? What didn't go well in fantasy football? What can we learn from the 2023 season into 2024? So it's going to be a fun time. So join Pat. We'll be starting ever so slightly earlier next week at the time of 6:55 because Pat has to go at 7:55. So 5 to 7 to 5 to 8. So tune in next week. It's going to be a great show. Also, don't forget to sign up for the FFCC. We're nearing about £1,800 of donations. Over 100 people signed up, which is amazing. So make sure you sign up for that. I want to get it to be the biggest one ever. I'd love to get 512 people there this year.
That sounds fantastic, my man. And it's all for a well-worthy cause. Not that they're not, but this one is specifically important to us, I'm going to go with. So, yeah, they're great signing up.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of people. We're going to get someone from Crohn's and Colitis to join us on the pod in the summer. There's also... talk that I might go on the Crohn's and Colitis podcast in return and talk about having ulcerative colitis, which is not great fun having. But if you saw the Traitors, you would have seen that someone with ulcerative colitis got all the way to the final two and then made the wrong decision. Spoiler. But it's been a week, so if you haven't watched it, you're probably not gonna.
Yeah, we watched it. It was good.
Best show on telly.
Yeah, although I think the final could be not shorter, but I feel like the final just get to the meat of it quicker because we all know what's going to happen. We just want to know what's going to happen. Like you don't need to
attention. I mean, it's good. I thought you were going to say the only way it would be better is if the actual players got murdered instead of pretending to get murdered. That'd be a dark twist.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that. That's beyond my darkness. But somebody I used to work with a long time ago messaged me on Facebook saying they saw your I was tagged in your post about colitis and they got diagnosed last year with it. So,
oh wow,
there was a shout out for us for raising money for it. So, which is always nice.
No, it's good. Look, it's an important disease. Not just because I've got it, right? I mean, that's an easy thing to say. Like, I've got this disease. And therefore, it's just pertinent. But ultimately, the biggest thing with this disease is I should have been diagnosed about 3 or 4 years ago. And had I been diagnosed 3 or 4 years ago, I would be in a much better position with my disease than I am. And it's because I wasn't aware. And it's literally, the numbers are scary. Over 500,000 people in the UK have this. That's just the unknown about. There's probably at least another 500,000 people, if not more, who are undiagnosed. And it's not that it's difficult to diagnose. It's just people don't know about it. So you're talking about potentially 1 million people suffer from Crohn's or colitis in this country. And it's a scary disease because it's a chronic illness. It doesn't go away. It the only way you get rid of it is to cut the bowel out if you have colitis. If you have Crohn's, it never goes away because you can't cut that part of the bowel out. So it's genuinely scary, and it affects people at our age more than any other demographic. So it's pertinent to this podcast in particular because people listening to this are at the highest risk of this disease. But I'm in a group of colitis and Crohn's sufferers. I see babies as young as 2 getting diagnosed with this. Molly, who was on the Traitors, got diagnosed at 11. Yep. It was just heartbreaking, like the kids that young. And she had her bowel removed when she was 18. So,
yes.
You know, it's a really terrible disease. So anything we can do to raise awareness, and again, I'll continue to talk about it. And if you suffer from... I'm not going to read the symptoms because they're quite gruesome and it's a family show. But if you are suffering with your stools and want some advice, then I'm happy to talk to absolutely anybody about this. I'm very open about my journey and process with this terrible disease. And if people can get tested and diagnosed earlier, you have a much better chance of getting it under control. It's not, by the way, okay. I wasn't a typical bloke of I put this off. I was tested for probably about 15 different things.
Yeah.
And
you could have said everything.
No, well, it's limited to what you can test. But I was, I just kept getting told you've got a bacterial infection. Literally, I had 7 different diagnoses. 5 of them were just, you've got bacterial infection. You've got Heliobacter. You've got this. You've got that. And I'm like, I prepare most of my own food and I'm kitchen hygiene trained. It's not bacteria. So anyway, that's what I mean. And if I had the awareness to know what this disease was, I'd have pushed for a test a lot sooner and I'd have been diagnosed a lot sooner. I certainly wouldn't have had the troubles and continued struggles I have with it. So yeah, it's important to get tested. But anyway, enough about that. Sign up to the FFCC. It's going to be the best tournament yet. Definitely, I've got a few surprises in mind when we get to bigger numbers. But it's been a phenomenal start. I really appreciate all the support from everybody. And looking forward to getting to 512 people this year and having a really, really fun tournament. We added something cool last year. I hope we can do something cool again this year.
Excellent. Do go get signing up, Rush Nation. Well, that it's a week and a bit to the Super Bowl, I think, now. So exciting times ahead. Rush Nation, go out, get yourself some Nutella patellas and Nutella tendons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's work to be done. But yeah, go Dan Campbell yourself some Nutella patellas and we'll see you next week. As always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.